I'm not okay. I promise. Theme song.
Had to say, I never want to let you down or have you go. It's better off this way for all the dirty looks. The photographs your boyfriend took. Remember when you broke your foot from jumping.
I'm not okay. I promise. Theme song.
Okay.
All right, cut it off. We don't need to go there a third time.
Welcome, everybody, to the Mega 64 podcast.
Yeah, the official podcast of My Chemical Romance fans.
Oh, shouts out.
Yeah, known as known as chemtrails.
Yeah.
I call them.
Chemtrailers.
No, chemtrails, you know, they talk about them in the news, and that's just because the band is so good. My Chemical Romance, they got a lot of great stuff upcoming. Like, the new album is on the way.
It drops.
I tell Eric to put the dates on the screen, and he doesn't do it. They're touring, and the album is coming, so get ready for that. What's the dude's name? Charles Martinet?
Gerard Way. Lead singer.
Comics.
Let's go around. Everybody mention their favorite MCR song.
Okay.
I'll start. I'll kick things off.
Yeah.
Helena and the Black Parade. I gotta go with the Black
Parade. That was mine. God damn it!
Why you take two?
Mine is the Black Parade because that is the best song. It is. Yeah. It tells you the whole story, and it's like 25 minutes long, so it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I didn't want him to take mine, but mine was Helena, and I feel like I'm robbed now.
I thought you would have liked Black Parade because more for your money, it's so long.
And mine is all of Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge, the whole album. Killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a different band, Killers.
I want to get an answer on the camera tonight. Why did Gerard Way get to write an Aquabats episode and we didn't?
That is a really good question.
I think it's because he's rich and famous.
That's my guess, too.
He's a writer,
and
too.
Highly successful, world famous, super rich, super talented person.
Yeah.
But
everything that we're not.
But
I'm rich.
Listen, I've been to a million Aquabat shows. They are always making little pot shots. Oh, Avril Lavigne, you know. They don't care about that stuff. So why did Gerard get the gig and not us? That doesn't seem like an Aquabats decision.
I'm more interested in hearing about how Sean is rich.
Oh, okay. We could address that.
Yeah, what's the richest thing
you've
done this week?
Any Benzes in your parking lot?
What's like a rich guy tip?
Bugatti?
Oh! I had lobster last night.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Did you free two for every one you ate?
I ordered one and they gave me two.
Yeah, I don't know if going to Red Lobster is like the richest thing I've ever heard of.
It was Outback.
You said the richest thing he did this week.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
I guess he's rich on personality.
Outback.
Yeah. You don't like Outback?
Like Prince Rich.
Yeah. I don't dine at Outback.
Garrett doesn't like anything Australian.
Is that
yeah.
true?
Yeah.
The only time I've been to Outback in the last like decade, I think, is we went during Long Beach Comic Con because that was all that was open or whatever. It was right there, and we got one of those Bloomin' Onions.
Yeah.
And ate maybe an eighth of it. It could not go on. And that thing we put in the corner of our hotel room. We brought it back. Oh, we'll eat it later. No one wanted to eat it later. And we put it in the corner of our hotel room. And it was there the entire trip. And it became the joke of the whole trip. We kept putting it on Brian's bed. Hey, Brian, you said you wanted some. This rotting, stinking
onion. Hotel room must have smelled real good.
Yeah, it was great by the end of it.
Three guys in a hotel that smells like a rotten onion.
But we were trying to outdo each other with this onion. And it ended up becoming a very fierce game.
Wow.
The smell was very fierce.
Yeah, hiding it, whatever. You remember we had
onion.
Back when you lived in that one apartment.
Yeah.
We had this disgusting plate that had shit all over it, and kept hiding it in your house.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah, we did do that.
And it said pirates on it.
Yeah.
Who shit on a plate?
it wasn't shit. It was like barbecue.
It was barbecue. Bleh, it was like guacamole and barbecue sauce, like smeared on it, and it was like guacamole.
And instead of barbecue, taking care of it, they were like, "How did it start? Like I hid it in your house or something."
I don't know.
And then you found it and you hid it in mine.
I brought it over, but hid it in your house.
And it was like 2 years of like I just found that Rocco. That fucking plate was under my bed. What the fuck? Oh, I was smelling gross. That all day. And then he would hide it like in my bedroom. I'd find it under a jacket or something. It was.
I mean,
why hide it in the trash? Did that thought ever come to anybody?
No, it wasn't as funny.
I left pizza boxes around in those days, but not like.
I was a different person back then. I was thinking about that, like me in 2004 or 2005 was like, I didn't know that guy.
Rocco's the same person.
He is the same person.
Some people change. Some people stay the same. Not well, saying you know, what's which, better or worse.
Maybe it's better that Rocco's consistent. You know.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you gotta keep a even. You know.
He has
keep the continuity
crystallized. You know, there's no once a crystal is formed, that's it, locked in forever.
You reach level 99, that's the cap. So you just
can't go. There he's mastered being a person.
Level cap.
Been there longer.
I've mastered humanity.
Level cap. I'm gonna stick with that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tight.
Maxed
definitely,
out.
Definitely level caps.
I've never been to Outback.
Whoa.
Never. I've never had a Bloomin' Onion either.
Oh my god.
So I can't relate to this story.
Well, I will tell
is
you.
Is Outback good?
I like Outback. I mean, it's not like.
Well, I know you went there this week.
There you go. It's not like super high quality, but it's a good steak. I don't know. It's nothing crazy. It's cheap.
It was.
You sound.
I mean, it was
so
serviceable.
Rich.
Thank you. Thank you.
This guy.
The only other time that I went, that we found one when I was in Japan, we found one, and it was like everyone had this moment, like it was a big novelty. Like, oh look, ha ha, we found Outback Steakhouse, and then everyone wanted to eat there, and I was like, I don't. Can we go anywhere else? I don't want to eat Outback. I made it fucking here, and I don't. I was so like. I saved up forever for that trip, and I was so excited. I did not want to eat at an Outback Steakhouse.
That is...
Somebody in the chat just said, Bloomin' Onion sounds like a sex act.
Well, that's where it started.
No, it doesn't, ew!
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that.
What are you doing with your dick?
What are you doing out back?
What is the Bloomin' Onion?
I wouldn't think.
Yo, baby, we're gonna do an old-fashioned Bloomin' Onion tonight.
Oh, you're getting an awesome blossom.
Here's my blossom sauce.
Oh.
Hey, close up on me, please. Close up on me. No. And close. Ready?
Disgustingly
okay,
close.
Ready?
Yeah.
No rules. Just right.
Is that Outback?
Don't give me that.
Is that? All right, close
up. Played like
close
a,
up on
like a
me.
Sexy thing.
Yeah, close up on Jerry.
Disgustingly close.
Barbecue sauce.
Do you remember, and we were just talking about this, but Chili's had their own fried onion thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That was the blossom. Oh,
that was
awesome
the awesome blossom.
Blossom.
Yeah,
the Bloomin' Onions are Outback.
Yes,
yeah.
But Chili's onion had their wars. Awesome blossom, and you know how that ended.
They had to take it off the menu, right?
It like, was so sued? Okay. Oh, guess what? It has a ton
so
of calories.
Calorie,
it's so high calorie.
Yeah, it's like 12,
okay, well, it's a fried onion. You would expect that, but the killer was that they would give you ramekins of sauce to dip it in, and that sauce was like 1,200 calories per little ramekin.
Yeah.
Like, it was the most calorie-dense thing at, like, any chain restaurant. So after that passed, or after that came out, you know, because a lot of these restaurants had to start giving out the calorie information.
Oh,
and once that happened, they were like, this isn't worth keeping on the menu. It looks so bad. So
bad
they,
press.
They killed it. So now you have the history of the fried onion.
Well, they have that restaurant in Las Vegas, the Heart Attack Grill.
Yeah.
Where like a couple of managers have died of heart attacks.
Right.
And their business is better than ever.
Didn't they just shut down?
No, they're still going.
Are they? I thought they just shut down, but maybe I'm wrong.
I mean,
maybe in like
the
last 6 months.
Recently.
Yeah.
So.
That was like the third
There's
one.
Been a few deaths. Yeah.
And have you heard, if you ever get a chance, if anybody out there, you have a minute, watch interviews with the owner.
Yeah, well,
it's crazy.
Now.
Is that the guy who died?
I think one of them is the owner who, because they were eating it every. You can't eat that every day.
Well, yeah, the actual owner of the company was is a doctor.
Oh,
and
good.
He talks about like, yeah, it's horrible. You shouldn't eat this. Yeah, and they're like, what? And he's like, yeah, this whole thing is a reflection of you come here once and you do this, ha ha. But I want people to walk away, like knowing the reality of this stuff, like.
Now,
you have to watch the interviews. It's psychotic because he says all the dangers of all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, but yeah, look how much you're promoting.
Not
all
only
the,
that,
it makes
but
no sense.
I think if you weigh over 350 pounds, you eat for free.
I think so.
And that's why I think, like, Loki,
that guy's a fucking liar. He wants to die. Yeah. He wants to kill people.
It's good publicity.
He talked about the Borgian.
I never heard about the place until the guy died. So that's totally good marketing.
He doctored.
If I had my own restaurant, the best thing that could happen is someone died.
Assisted suicide inside?
From eating the food.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. You wouldn't want.
Because the food tastes so good.
You wouldn't want Godfather, Salazzo.
No, the food is to die for.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's why you take the cannoli.
Yeah. But leave the gun. Sorry. I just watched that two days
That's
ago.
That's why you take the cannoli.
2 days ago. I had never seen it before.
Seen what?
Just kidding.
Hey, you know what I got? Huh. Last night, I haven't watched it yet, but I was just talking to Rocco about this last night. I jumped right in, both feet in the water. I got The Expendables 1 and 2.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
On DVD, because they were on sale at Best Buy for $3 each.
Well, that's a good deal.
I've never seen The Expendables. Yeah. I don't know if it's good or not, but now I got the first two.
Because
we were talking last week about RoboCop,
yeah.
And I had all my views about RoboCop that I said last week.
Yeah, I just saw it. I had never seen it before.
And I was talking to Rocco about it. I like RoboCop 2. I feel like there's a better hero versus villain story in RoboCop 2. And you said that's The Expendables. That's exactly how I feel about The Expendables.
Yeah, Expendables 1 is a drier movie, and it doesn't resort to cheap jokes. You know, you've got all these action movie stars, but it doesn't, they don't make a bunch of shitty Terminator jokes and stuff like that.
There's more screen time with all of them, too.
Well,
it's a little scattered in the sequel, right?
Opposite. Oh, they're really? All together in the second one, okay. Yeah. But the first one, it takes it more seriously. Some people didn't like that. But I liked that the first one had all these guys, and it made a straightforward 80s-style action movie and not a parody. The second one was more parody. It was more jokes. You're terminated. I'll be back. I'm back. And then Chuck Norris shows up.
But he's I haven't seen it yet.
He's only in it for a second.
Yeah, I just bought the DVD.
But what made 2 great is exactly what Derek was saying. In RoboCop 2, he has more of a one-on-one adversary. And that's what made Expendables 2 good is he has Van Damme. That, because he doesn't
that's
have...
the villain. That's right. Okay,
there
cool.
isn't really... The villain in the first one is kind of just... It's more of an organization doing stuff. The second one you have, it's like Van Damme is his equal. And that made it a lot more fun, I think. It's just, So, I don't know. I haven't seen RoboCop 2 yet. I enjoyed 1. It was a big, gaudy 80s action movie, but I am going to watch 2.
Is there a third RoboCop?
Expendables?
3, Expendables
yeah,
3?
There is. I didn't get that one.
The third Expendables?
I'm going to wait till I see the first two.
We went.
Wait, I've seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. Holy shit.
Hey, ladies, remember
it was
all
not good. Starts now. Remember, it was with all the new recruits and stuff.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey's in it.
Oh, yeah, Rousey was in it.
And the downfall of 3 was, we're going to try for a PG-13 rating on this
Ooh.
One. The
oh,
end. That was the end.
Work. Bad news.
All movies should be rated R or higher,
yep.
in my opinion.
True.
For me and you, having him around is like... It's nice because
you have such a great recall memory.
Back to your life that you forgot. Like,
yeah.
He tells a story, like, oh, I wish I was there. And he's like, you were there. Wow, I was?
Oh, sounded
great.
Fun.
That's cool. Get to live through it the first time again.
You know what the funniest instance of that is? And it's actually not involving you two.
Well, fuck.
It's involving Derek.
Whoa.
And I don't know if I ever brought this up. But there was a whole thing we shot once for, I want to say it was when we did maybe our Blu-ray box set. Or maybe it was just a version 2 special edition. It might have been. But
I don't know what you're talking about.
We did this little featurette on when we tried to make a video where we destroyed the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
And, we bought an Xbox 360 the night it came out, and we went and wrecked it in front of a bunch of people.
This was new at the time.
At that time, we had never heard of that.
Revolutionary.
Yeah. So we did it, and ultimately we didn't use much of it. It wasn't that great. But... this whole little we did a thing where we hosted it was like the deleted footage of that, and we hosted this thing where it's like, all right, what you're about to see is blah blah blah, and Derek says so many times throughout that how he wish he had been there or he wasn't there. It was integrated into every part about like, yeah, I just heard that Luke got messed up and I couldn't believe and I went with it because I was like, yeah, he must not have, yeah, you know, whatever. And then when I edited that featurette together, the first shot is Derek running in with the camera. It's like, you filmed the whole thing. You're in every single aspect of the whole thing.
Did Luke cut his hand?
Yeah.
So if you ever watch that featurette on the DVD, it's cut to hell because I just removed all... We talked for like 10 minutes about how Derek wasn't there or couldn't be there. And
that was an actor. It was a false flag situation.
Ooh,
it was, okay, whoever that was sponsored by liberal media bullshit, mm-hmm. Okay? Thank you. It's not a conspiracy theory if it's true.
Ooh,
thank you.
Thank you.
All I know is that I don't remember being there, but Luke cut his hand, so I wish I was there mentally. I wish I was there.
Yeah, I think that...
I must have been checked out.
But also, I will say... Why retain that to memory? It was a failure.
Yeah, it was boring. So,
I'm not saying this as an insult at all.
I just thought it was,
you know, if I get too bored, my mind just deletes it, wipes the slate clean. I only have enough space in here for the valuable stuff. That's why I'm so smart. I don't waste time with the boring stuff.
Do people still make those videos of smashing like the iPhone 10? Is that a video?
I don't know.
Series still.
Like,
they still wait in line. I know they do.
When we were going to smash the 360, that we had a deal at that time with, I think it was GameVideos.com. We had just done our Timbo video for them, and then we were going to do that. Like they were like, if you have anything else lined up, and we were like, I think when the 360 comes out, we're going to do the sketch where I'm like an employee and I accidentally break one, like as people are waiting to get theirs, and we'll get their reactions. And they were like, that's hilarious. Yeah, do it. And then we recorded it, and it was like, yeah, this footage isn't that great, but well, we can make something out of it. And then the next morning, some other group had done smashmyxbox.com. And it was painful.
It was like way worse than ours.
We should not have done this.
They
not
just
funny.
Went out with no premise or anything.
Yeah, they were just like...
Assholes. Like,
they were
rich,
running in front
smash.
Of cars like, hey, what's up, bitch? And, yeah, we had a character at least.
You were an employee. I thought that video was good. That was like some early, early shit.
Yeah,
and
it was.
I remember,
2005.
You know, you're in an Xbox t-shirt. It's branded. Yeah. You're like, okay, guys, here it is.
There it is. And you dropped it.
And you fumble it very realistically.
I thought the funniest part... I mean, the reactions were okay. I feel like people were just kind of like, don't even look at these assholes.
Right.
But the funniest part to me was that getting grilled by, like, a guy in the parking lot afterwards. Like, what? Like, you just... Why'd you do this? I was filming a thing. Well, you... I mean, you just wasted $300, yeah? I mean, just what? I mean, like, you like Xbox, right? Yeah. I mean, you got the shirt, yeah? But you break it, yeah? I just... Stupid. Like, I just... This is so dumb. And you have... And at that point, we had just gotten the nice Panasonic camera, the DVX-100. At the time, that was like the... Oh, that was the best camera. And he's looking at it just like... That's like the nicest camera. So, you know what you're doing, yeah? But you just did that, yeah? You're so stupid. I don't, like, there was a guy who could not process it for like an hour. That part was enjoyable, but the rest of it.
The guy knows the value of a dollar. He's really been out of shape.
And I think one of the guys in the parking lot, when they're fed up with this, he says something that I'll never forget because I still don't understand it. He goes, "Ugh, I just want to throw a quarter at him." Does that mean something? Am I missing something? A quarter?
I don't know.
Like, he's all tied up with money, man. You got to let go.
Yeah.
Be so free.
If you're ever mad at somebody, let them know. I'm going to throw a quarter at you. Anyway. That's
about
our
that.
Xbox 360 talk
that's,
for this week.
Speaking
of Xbox, we did a new video this week.
Let's talk about the future and the present.
Yes.
Our latest video about Xbox One. Xbox Spring Preview. What was the title of that video?
Xbox Spring Preview. Xbox One Spring Preview.
New video. Was very well received. I was happy to see people really liked it. So that was great. It's the first video that we filmed here in our new studio. Got to test out our green screen.
Which we have been working on extensively. So I'm happy that it was working out. The green started out.
Yeah. We were still painting it and we were like, I hope this works.
Yeah.
But it did. It was already better than our... Works already so much better than our old.
Really?
It was that, much easier to make it
that
work.
Video was a case of saving it in editing. Yeah. We wrote the video and we filmed the video and I don't know. I think we were filming, feeling it as we were going through the process, but not 100%. I think even as we were making it, there was still this sense of, what is this video? What are we trying to accomplish here? You know, we need to film it. We need to put something up on the channel. Our fans are dying to hear from us. So we kind of filmed it, and then we put it together, and we watched the first cut of it, and it was like, meh, not really feeling this video. So then we did another re-edit of it where we took it in a whole different direction. Yeah. Like, hey, let's get weird with this video. And found something that was worthwhile in the editing process.
I thought I had a lot of fun editing that video. Like, the three of us sitting in that room and just like having these jokes and trying these different things out, it was a lot of fun. It was fun. The idea kind of came from like, we were like, what is Microsoft doing right now? And we could not think of an answer. Like, we don't know. But then I thought, like, there are people that we know in our personal lives who are still convinced that Xbox is the best system and they're destroying everybody else. And my thought is, like, I want to get in their head and make a video like for them. Like, hey, you're excited. Yeah, me too. I don't know
anybody who feels that way. But I felt I wanted this video to be overwhelmingly positive. I wanted people to have nothing but good things to say about Xbox, despite the fact that their ammunition was really running low.
Well, yeah, and that's what I think. To me, the video isn't even meant to be like, fuck Xbox.
No.
But every time I talk to someone, they just bring up Sea of Thieves and Forza over and over. And so that's kind of how our video is. So it was more just kind of in that vein.
Yeah.
You know, in 4K movies. I mean, I have one and I use it for 4K movies.
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
That's, you know, it's kind of the same. Yeah.
So there was a way more straightforward version of that video. And then I kind of went into the editing room and I was like, all right, let me sit with this for a while. I shut the door. I put everybody else out and I was like, I'm going to fuck this up. I almost approached it like, let's take all valuable information out of this video and have these guys say as much as they can about nothing at all. So just, all right, we have Rocco and I both saying, like, Xbox is the top of the pile. It's number one. I was like, I'm going to use every instance of them saying that at the same time. And from there, just kind of, you know, sometimes getting weird with it's the best thing you can do to save a video.
Yeah.
Too many people are straightforward with their videos. Yeah. We have mastered the art of getting stupid with it. So
I think people, too, you know, whatever. It's always like, getting weird. So it's, you know, that was fun. But, yeah, we're working on we're kind of in the midst of getting stuff together for kind of a bigger video coming. And I think, yeah, with this, it was just kind of like, well, we have this kind of little idea. Let's put this out, you know, give people something to chew on, and then we'll, you know, get the other thing out later. Because we knew our other video was going to take a really long time. So
right.
I think it's good for that. You know, I don't know if that's selling it short, but that's kind of where we were coming from.
I don't think he's selling it short. That's the truth.
That's the truth. The truth is never a hill to die on. Mark Twain.
Ah, literary.
Yeah, he was a literary.
A literary.
An illuminary.
He was illiterate. You're right.
He was a literary.
Woo! Anyway, so yeah, there you have it.
Is Army Hammer in your Xbox video?
Yeah, Army Hammer is in it.
What's two of them.
What are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about?
Colonel
Clink?
Yeah. We both knew where he was going. What the F are you talking about?
What are you saying?
The guy, Larry.
You're right.
He's
having a stroke. Guys, he's having a stroke.
So we have Army
Master.
Army Hammer, Colonel Clink, and Larry.
Who the fuck is Larry?
The guy who
Who the fuck is Larry? Major Nelson.
That's him.
A.K.A. Larry.
Oh, my God. That took like an hour to get to.
Major Nelson.
Colonel Clint.
Colonel Larry?
Yeah, Larry Nelson.
Major Larry Nelson.
Is he in the video?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Army man. Hammer? No.
Army Hammer. Where'd that guy come from?
Army Hammer?
Colonel and Army.
Oh, he was thinking of Army. The Army.
Yeah. Wow. I love your thought process.
Damn.
I enjoy it.
Larry.
Well, no more dropping acid before the podcast.
Or more.
How are my pupils, Kevin?
Yo, this dude high AFS. You don't need to pan over to me.
I need to translate that. AFS.
Speaking of video games, have you guys been playing anything? Because I played a lot of Bayonetta 2 on Switch has been so much fun. I think I'm almost done with it, but between bringing it here and home, it's so easy now playing it on the Switch.
Are you doing all the different costumes? Because that's all yes. I see people posting, like, all the different costumes.
Every level, I switch to a new costume, because amiibos unlock. You can buy them
through amiibo.
Well, you can buy them in game.
Okay.
You can get all these extra costumes in game
with the in game
by saving up money. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Gems and shit.
But if you scan your amiibos, you just get them immediately. Oh, so nice. I did that. I was like Princess Peach, okay, Link, you know, whatever. These outfits that you get in the game are awesome because they affect certain things. So if you can get like a Link outfit for her, and then her sword becomes the Master Sword. And the rings you collect as currency in the game, they become rupees. And it's the old sound effect. When you pick them up,
yeah.
It's
like, ring, ring, ring. The fact that it changes the sound design, yeah. Depending on the costume,
detail.
That's yeah. fucking cool.
And the, like, you know, you use moves that will have, like, you summon, like, beasts out of your hair and stuff like that. Well, if you have the Peach outfit, everything you collect is coins. And when you do those attacks, it's like Bowser's foot comes, you know, Bowser coming out
that's
and stuff.
Cool.
But my favorite is
the
Samus outfit, because when you jump, she actually does the screw attack jump.
The ball.
And
right.
And when you run, she becomes the ball and it goes really fast. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's wow. Awesome. And you can
so
charge
that gives
up your gun.
Ability, like a speed increase almost moving around in the environment?
I don't know if you go faster, but it looks cool.
Okay. I know the Star Fox one, your guns on your feet
yeah,
and your hands are
like
laser
guns
blasters
and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Like
they did a great job. Yeah, it's super cool. So, cool. Anyway, yeah. So, she's just been playing that.
What about Ice Climber's amiibo or Mega Man?
No, there isn't an Ice Climber's amiibo because he wasn't in the last Smash.
What about the Wii Fit Trainer?
What about Mega Man?
I didn't try. No, there isn't a Mega Man outfit. Mm-hmm. I think the ones that we mentioned are all of them. I think that's it. Mm-hmm. You said you were playing Metal Gear Survive.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so did you hear the latest?
No.
Canceled.
I've been having so much fun with it, and I haven't been reading a lot of, because I know that there's just so much negativity out there.
Yeah, well, I'll bring it to you.
Okay,
This is Rocco's negative moment of the week.
It's actually not really negative.
Do
it's
an
mysterious.
Intro.
It is mysterious.
All right, Rocco's mysterious moment.
Mysterious moment. Sean, do an intro, Rocco's mysterious moment, and make me fucking mysterious.
Yeah, right here.
Do like the theme song to the X-Files, but Rocco has been recut into it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like Brian used to.
Understood.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Cool.
This is my mystery for this week. A lot of people are trying to figure that fade was killer.
Oh, God.
There are a lot of people trying to figure this out, but there's a point in the game where they hand you a clipboard and they say, oh, these are the guys in your army, you know, or whatever. I haven't played it. I can't tell you what this part is.
But they hand
them a clipboard. And
I'm building the army, yeah.
And, you know, there's those names like Cackling Ocelot, Stunning Viper. You know, all these people have names and stuff.
Yeah,
things like that.
Boa.
Well, they list all these characters and the first letter of each one spells out KGP forever.
Oh,
Kojima Productions Forever.
I just saw your brother tweet this out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kojima Productions Forever. And then at the bottom, it lists, I can't remember their names, but Bastard so-and-so and Cunning so-and-so.
Yeah.
And the last names, which I can't remember, are the last names of the producers of this game.
One's a bastard and one's cunning?
So people are saying, okay, did they put that in and that's their joke?
Oh,
or did some developer hide this as a fuck you?
Is the game out?
Yeah, it's out.
Oh,
it came out this week.
That.
Yeah,
they found it already. That's
yeah.
Whoa.
So people are trying to get to the bottom of this. What's the message?
Ah, I haven't gotten to that like end credits probably of the single player.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Oh huh. Man.
So people are trying to get to the bottom of this. What do you think at home? Was it a middle finger or a thumbs up?
It's someone who worked on all the games with Kojima and stayed on with Konami and is pissed.
Maybe.
It's gotta be that.
Who knows?
Because there are a lot of employees, I would imagine, that are
there
for this whole ride. People that worked on Phantom Pain, maybe MGO3,
yeah.
Are also working on this. Especially in the Japanese departments.
Yeah. So who knows? So not negative, more mysterious.
Yeah. Oh, very interesting.
But on the negative side, you were bringing up the save thing or something.
Yeah, well,
you brought that.
You mentioned.
Well, I don't know. I read an article. I don't know if it's true. could be fake news. You never know.
Yeah.
But I heard that the game charges you money to do an extra save.
What?
Yeah, if you want
to
have...
To have another character, basically.
Alternate profile. To have multiple characters, you got to pay extra money.
Which, $10.
When me and Brian were playing multiplayer today, he was kind of talking to me a little about this. So, yeah, I just started one character. I haven't even... I don't want to start a second character.
Why would you?
But, okay, it's $10. I can see how people could complain about that.
Wait. So, let's say I'm playing this game, and then Beckett wants to play his own game. It's going to be $10 if
I guess.
That's what we're saying here?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you can't earn it through... Because most everything that I found in the game, you just wait, and then every day you log in, they give you 30 coins.
Eric, you have something to say?
Yeah, I don't get why this is news at all, because you can only have one save file on Zelda for Switch. You just make another profile.
Is that the same thing? Make another profile?
Oh, yeah, you could do that.
So what's the issue?
Oh, then there is no issue.
There is no issue there. It's just, I guess, if I wanted...
If you wanted to do it yourself personally.
Oh, well, make another
profile. I think the issue is video games forcing in, like, microtransactions for stuff that should just be a feature of the game.
But to go back, though, if you're playing online, you don't want to have a separate PlayStation Plus account and whatever. Do you know what I mean? That's not so easy. This game is entirely online, so that seems different than the Zelda thing, isn't it? Wouldn't you think?
That is a definite kind of gray area for me. Yeah, I don't know. Because I'm not honestly going to need a second character slot. I can't.
No, imagine. Yeah, I wouldn't either if I was
I played... Since it's an always online kind of thing, I guess I would correlate it to, like, I played Final Fantasy 14, mm-hmm. and that I only had one character slot, and I would have had to pay for more, and I never had the need to do that because I was still just playing the one character.
Yeah.
In Metal Gear
Online,
most people
this won't affect, but it is just kind of weird.
In MGO3, you could get second and third character slots, which I never did until I was, like, so leveled out and maxed. I thought, oh, let me try a different class of character. Mm-hmm. But there is no different class of characters. It just would be a visual difference if you made a male or female or a different looking character.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't even know about because I haven't explored that amount of the game.
Is there... See, I'm not playing Metal Gear Survive. Mm-hmm. This is just an article I read, you know, news coming out. People were upset about it. But what is the microtransaction situation in the game? Is there stuff...
I'm sure
you have to
it's
pay
there.
For? Have you explored that at all?
It has never come up, and I've put like pretty big session yesterday and this morning in. And
seems like they're pretty ignorable.
I'm up to like level 23 now in single player. I've just been doing the main missions that the kind of you have like an AI in the center of your mother base camp that you're building, and it tells you where to go, what to do, rescue more people, you know, advance the levels of stuff you can build. It definitely started out. Yeah. It's a mix of like, did you play Don't Starve or any of those like survival type
games?
Yeah,
definitely.
So it's a mixture of like that, Left 4 Dead, and I feel like, what was the 360 zombie game? Dead Rising.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going out like Dead Rising to collect and rescue other people to bring back to your base.
Okay.
And then they get assigned to either help you farm food or go out on mission. Like, I got guys now, similar to in Phantom Pain, I would send guys out on missions to earn money or gather resources. In this, I can do the same thing. Send guys out to, like, get food or gather, like, resources for crafting. Because it's all about crafting, too. Like, Don't Starve. And I guess a lot of people were annoyed right off the bat. It's very imperative to, like, get water, get food. And you kind of have to do that in the beginning before you can build your farming equipment.
So it actually is like a survival game. It's you versus the elements.
Yeah.
In addition to the enemies.
As you start going further into it, it's not only food and water you got to keep up, but then oxygen when you go into these dust clouds. So that's a constant drain. Yeah. And then I seem to level up after every big like story mission. I've earned enough energy to come back, level up. It's got rewards and goals that are always obtainable. So I'm constantly finding like new cooler gear to upgrade and change the colors on my outfit. I'm all dressed up like a Diamond Dog staff member now.
Go ahead.
Do you feel like you've been playing Metal Gear 5? I mean, since it came out
until this. Came out. Yeah.
So do you feel like this is like a worthy successor to that, or like do you...
No, it's nowhere near as good as Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain, all encompassing, which is like Ground Zeroes, Phantom Pain, and MGO3.
Right.
That is like such a fucking awesome video game. And I always feel like I need to jump back in and play a little more of that since
what do you think of it's been a while. The story, now that you're getting into the story, how does that
The story's cool. It's totally, I love that it's totally separate from anything. Like, Konami's not trying to do a new Metal Gear game. They're just doing a survival spin-off.
Yeah, it's a cheaper, and it's a cheaper game, like too. Acid, you can get it for $30.
Acid was a cheaper game that was like a card-based spin-off on the Metal Gear universe. This is like a survive-based
Here's
spin-off.
The thing that I find annoying, though. Yeah. You say it's a cheaper game, you get it for $30.
Yeah.
But then they put in all of these little ways to supplement the cost and make more money, which I don't think with Metal Gear Solid, maybe that reflects on the game or not. But I just get annoyed. It's like if you're going to release a cheaper game, release a cheaper game. Don't put a game out for less money and then hide all these other money-making aspects into it. I'm a guy, I just want the complete package. I just want you to make a game, tell me the price, I'll pay the price, and then I have access to all the features of the game. And I feel like it's a slippery slope, this era of mobile gaming where it's like, well, the cost to get in is really cheap, but then we'll just keep the ball rolling by feeding you this feature, feeding you that feature. Yeah. You know, pay for an extra save, here's some DLC or additional content. Because I feel like... Maybe if the plan going in was just this is going to be a full price $60 game, we're going to make it fucking badass and we're just going to give it all to you. Then there's more effort put into the development of the core game. My worry is that it cheapens the core game when they think like, well, we're going to release it for cheaper and put all these other money-making revenue sources into it. What do you guys think
about
that? Well,
to be fair, though, it seems like all those things are ignorable. Like it seems like all the there were microtransactions in the Phantom Pain.
Yeah.
There were a billion.
If you were...
But,
impatient and didn't save up your daily bonuses, and I get it, you know, they didn't give them out if you didn't log in every day.
Yeah.
But you could, you know, spend some cash in there to just get done.
I think that kind of thing is fine if it's completely
But
an
you don't see
thing.
These incremental steps where they introduce it and the fans in pain. Now it's back in Metal Gear Survive, but it's a little bit more advanced. Aren't we marching towards a destination where it's going to get to a point where say the next Metal Gear or Metal Gear 6 or 7 comes out, and it's like, okay, you've played for 3 hours today. That's it for the day.
Well, yeah.
Come back tomorrow, unless you want to pay more money.
The thing is, they tried that with Battlefront 2. I mean, it was almost exactly that. But everyone rejected
it. Yeah, they rejected it for that game, but the corporations are kind of marching towards this destination.
Of course, and they'll continue. That I totally agree with everything you say.
Yeah.
And the corporate idea is to keep marching forward, take an inch from them, keep taking an inch, take another inch next year. In 6 months, we'll take another inch. There was finally enough pushback with the Battlefront thing that it was like, hey, kind of a win in our favor as a consumer. But I do agree with Rocco. None of that stuff's even come up for me where I even wanted to spend money.
Yeah, as of now, whatever. It's just, it's a question of what will happen.
And I agree with, like I was saying, everything... you say, Derek, it's just that was 2004 games, and now it's like we're in this era of they figured out how cell phone games, free-to-play games work to make more money for the company. Like, Pocket Camp is Nintendo's new Animal Crossing.
Oh, yeah.
It's free-to-play. But I know hardcore people that have put in hundreds of dollars already.
Wow. On a mobile game.
Yeah.
I mean,
more than they would pay on any console game.
Yeah.
That's like, the cost of two or three console games.
Right. So if there's outliers out there that feel good because I play this every day and I don't mind spending some money, Nintendo's looking at it like, hey, yeah, fucking make Animal Crossing free. We just need those hardcores to keep the lights on in the Animal Crossing servers room. You know,
it's
not that
as
expensive to keep updating.
You know, in Jurassic Park,
there.
They talk about how the raptors were testing the boundary for weaknesses. That's what
they
see all these DLC experiments as. They're experimenting with what if to have another save, it costs a little bit of money. People didn't seem to mind that. Okay, keep that for all of our games. Now what else can we do?
Sure, maybe.
A game that did it really well that I really enjoyed and is similar to Survive is Let It Die. Was that free-to-play game that came out on PS4. That you could buy, and I would every once in a while actually spend some, because it was a free-to-play game, and you could get continues was kind of how it worked. So yeah. if you died before you brought your haul back home, you'd be like, fuck, I don't want to leave it there. Maybe I'll spend $1 for 5 more continues. Boom, I can go a little further and make sure I get my ass home.
Yeah.
And I found myself doing that occasionally, and it never really bothered me because it was, again, yeah, I justified it in my head. It worked on me. I got this game for free. I'll spend $1 here.
Yeah.
But I've so
the,
far...
The free thing does guilt you almost sometimes into like, hey, you know, whatever.
And I would rationalize it with Survive, but honestly, in the hours and hours and up to level 23 that I've put into it, I've never come to the point or even found where I could go spend my coins. I guess I could go into the store and look what they have to offer, but like, I'm fine. Like, I'm earning everything and I'm sending guys out on missions for stuff I don't have.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm feeling like, yeah, you know, I could use a big haul. I'll jump into multiplayer. I add Brian or a couple other people from my friends list. We go do a quick round, and then that's where you can score like rare items and like real big hauls of loot to bring back to your base.
Mm-hmm. Is it PlayStation 4?
PlayStation 4, Xbox, it's all consoles, it's Steam. It's across
the board. What do you have it on?
PlayStation 4.
Okay. You know, the aspect of it being a survival game, I actually do like those games like Don't Starve.
It is tedious. I mean...
I find those games...
You remember the Red Dead skinning an animal animation?
Yeah.
Brian just told me, like, God, this reminds me of that so much where you have to watch that cutscene.
You know what, though? Fucking Minecraft is tedious.
Yeah.
Like, and if you are willing to spend hours collecting fucking rocks and diamonds in Minecraft, mm-hmm. then you can't complain about Metal Gear Survive or survival games being tedious.
And right? I will say, you can go in, once you start leveling up, you can buy these upgrades in your skill tree really easily. It doesn't lock you out. It just lets you pick and choose which ones sound interesting. And there's ones that are like, carve your shit up faster, pick stuff up faster, run faster, have more stamina. Like, anything that would be annoying at the beginning, like I talked about, like food and water... Couple levels in, man.
You master it.
You get a farm, and you get water barrels that are making shit for themselves.
It actually sounds interesting to me. I might pick this game up.
We can do
some multiplayer together.
I'd be down. It's fun.
Everything that you're saying, does it have to be Metal Gear? Did it have to be that way?
That's what's interesting to me, because I wouldn't play this if this was just a generic
right. But what if you heard IP? There was a new and really good new survival game, new IP... Like, because right now, I think this game started with a lot of negative press because everyone's pissed off about the Konami thing and Kojima. But if it didn't have to be that way...
And I'll be honest, they cut some corners with price because they're just using all
pre-made
environments
stuff.
And assets elements from 5, and assets yeah. gotcha. From the Phantom Pain and Ground Zeroes. There's a lot of new stuff, too. But a lot of the land and environment and everything.
And the Fox engine. And I mean, they didn't have to pay shit for that at all.
Well, then there you go.
But I love how tight the controls in that Fox engine, I had mastered them after putting so many hours into Phantom Pain. So being able to go back into the Fox engine, into the Metal Gear world, and build a new mother base. And I'm honestly, in something that happened in the story of Phantom Pain is your old mother base after Peace Walker gets... blown up and sunk into the ocean. This just has this skewed story where like, oh no, while that was happening, some parts got sucked into wormholes. Hey, figure
right.
it out.
Nice.
And now you're kind of like playing in this environment where it's still in between Ground Zeroes and Phantom Pain, but you're just abandoned, building kind of a new makeshift mother base, if you will, and assigning people to different teams to go out and hunt stuff, to go get agriculture going, to repair the barricades around your base. It feels like all of that management in Phantom Pain, which if you didn't like spending all that time in the AAC doing menu tree stuff in Phantom Pain, maybe this isn't for you, because it is a lot of, you know, crafting menus, going to different workbenches.
What I find most interesting about this game, I've never experienced a game where people's minds were just made up on the game before it ever came out.
Totally. Yeah.
For better or for worse. I think Garrett is an example of somebody we all could have predicted was going to play this game.
No matter what.
My money was on you liking it, and here we are, you like it. I'm seeing so many people in the chat and on the internet, the minute they saw it and Kojima wasn't a part of it, fuck that game.
Oh, yeah.
Bullshit.
Me.
And now that the game is out, it's like, have you played it? No, I ain't fucking played it. Bullshit game. People, fuck that game.
That's where people I'm at. Are in there.
And there's no. People have made their minds up on this game one way or the other. You either like it or you hate it before you ever played it.
Yeah, it's so. I think for the people who are negative about it, I mean, there's a lot of like fuck Konami, like. Residual vitriol. Whatever, but I'm not even coming from that. To me, it's just so intrinsically tied to Kojima that I don't. It's like Twin Peaks without David Lynch.
It's also
like,
pretty it's not fresh interested. Since the whole
thing. Yeah, it's just
if it
not...
was 5 years from now, I think people will probably be like, oh, whatever, fuck it.
Yeah, here's the thing. It wouldn't take anymore.
I like
5 years.
The Metal Gear Solid series, but I don't care about the drama.
Yeah, I
want to
play
scenes.
With my toys.
And I honestly, I don't even care necessarily that this. Is branded as Metal Gear or not, the way you describe the game, it sounds like something I want to try, regardless of whether it was Metal Gear or not. And the fact that Kojima has this bad blood with Konami also doesn't factor into my desire to play play this game.
Yeah. I think Kojima himself is fine. Yeah. I think he's okay.
Yeah,
I don't
totally.
Think he cares.
Personally, no, I don't think so either.
He's doing his own thing. He doesn't care.
I just think...
That's what's great is he's freed up to now... be away from all of this past
totally.
And work on
whatever
it, on
but for me it's but yeah but for me it's just the fact that he isn't involved in something that was so he was such a big part of it just isn't that interesting to me. That's where it is. It's not like I'm not I'm not setting shit on fire.
George
like
Lucas
mad.
Isn't involved in the new Star Wars, you know, the creator of a
but he wasn't
sometimes
out the gate though he was in mixed you know what I mean, like Star Wars trilogy doesn't have him in every aspect of it. You know what I mean? Like, to the level that Kojima was in Metal Gear. You know what I mean? Like, the
also,
second Star Wars
spin-offs.
Has other people
also,
make
there's
it.
There's always been spin-offs.
But,
Twin
you know,
Snakes.
George Lucas sold Star Wars. I feel like if Kojima sold Metal Gear, that'd be a different story. It's like, oh, he gave it to them. Like,
yeah, but I'm not
them.
Even...
Well, what difference would that make on the final product?
Though? Yeah, exactly.
It wouldn't. No, but people's perception of it is being like, one was taken, one was given.
But there was a lot of mud slung when the firing and the separation
happened.
Yeah,
we were
happened.
Part of it.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, people know about
check
that.
Check out our VR video.
They pick sides.
Yeah, but in the case of George Lucas, I mean, Empire Strikes Back, he didn't direct.
No.
You know, it's just immediately whatever. It's a little different of a situation. I just feel like with this, it's I use it, like I said, the example of Twin Peaks without David Lynch. It's like that actually does exist. There are episodes like that.
Yeah, season two,
stuff. and they're unwatchable to me. You know, I just
those are my favorite. Episodes.
I just feel Sean always says that. Those are the only ones he watched.
I only watched those.
You know, I just don't care.
So when I was
not like I'm not like angry about
it. When the game first came out, I was doing a Twitter search, just keywords, Metal Gear Survive review, and it was no like good review. I was looking at YouTube thumbnails or where they were all like bad reviews, people tearing it up. It was a lot of the same one, and I watched the review, and the stuff the guy talked about was just like not even true. He talked about wasting 19 hours of playing this game where he was constantly hungry and thirsty and could never satiate and was always having a dizzy screen and had injuries
sounds
that
like
he could never
sucks
heal.
At the game.
Yeah,
who was this?
I mean,
who?
This just this is an example of like a negative YouTube review.
Oh yeah,
and then bitching about the environments and everything being recycled, but really. There's this totally new element when you go into the dust. It is like so foggy and creepy and nighttime, and it adds like a new layer or a new filter over kind of what the game had ever looked. The game didn't really ever look like that. Maybe when you're battling the skulls in Phantom Pain, but it gives it also that horde mode is like I've gotten so just fucking energized in my seat and excited playing it. And then, like, waiting, the countdown's almost here. I'm about to get my ass kicked. And then you are saved in the nick
of
time. You know... Like, it's a different type of game. There is stealth, but it's not about being stealthy. It's a different
there's
game.
You're kind of tapping into a larger problem with the internet. And I even think we're guilty of this sometimes.
Yeah.
Where everybody's a fucking expert. Like, everybody has their opinion and their...
Yeah.
You know, you see these reviews that are like definitive. This game's a piece of shit. I couldn't survive. And it's like, yeah, I don't know why that opinion is so valuable. Like,
I think negativity is respected more in, you know, an angry gamer who tears games a new asshole. And all the comments are like, yeah, I love it when Jeremiah rips into stuff. Don't you love it?
I love
That was what the comment section of this video happened to be like.
What's
and I was
funny
like,
is we were actually talking about, this is kind of unrelated, but we were talking about Mega 64 earlier this week and feedback we get from people. And we've found that like a lot of times people want to give you feedback when they're mad at you.
Yeah.
And they don't want to give you feedback when they're happy with what you do. And it's the people who think you're doing a good job stay silent, and then the people who are angry and think you suck are like the most vocal commentators on what you're doing. And it kind of warps your perception sometimes because we were talking about things that we used to do that we canceled that we don't do anymore because there was such negativity. And then we don't do it. People are like, oh, I really like that. And it's like, well, where were you?
Yeah.
All the feedback we heard was about how we suck.
The example that I used this week, and don't – I'm going to bring this up, but don't sweat it.
Okay.
But I remember doing the Remember Off.
Do you remember?
No.
We were young again in a something. Do you remember?
No.
In 2016. And all I got were all the, all the feedback I got was, Rocco, you're the only one that enjoys this bit. Like,
I'm with them.
Fucking, like, drop this bit. Yeah. And I was like, Jesus, okay.
I wrote everything.
So I didn't do it last year, just thinking like, well, people didn't like it. That's fine. You know, I was enjoying it, but I'm in my own head. Okay. Yeah. And then, when last year ended, it was I got even more emails that were like, what happened? And so that's what I mean. It's like in 2016, I only heard from the people who were mad.
Well, that was a very
sometimes
bad year.
That happens. You know, and sometimes that happens. And
we're guilty
of
it too. We're guilty of it too. I remember doing a podcast a few months ago complaining about Game of Thrones, and there was so much like negative feedback towards me, and it really made me kind of reflect on, why does my opinion on this TV show matter? I'm just talking about things that make me mad, but and then other people want to argue with me, that makes them mad, and it really made me think about how, and maybe this has come across, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I've tried, I don't know if I've been that successful, but I try not to just criticize things for the sake of criticizing them anymore on this podcast. Sure. I think it's more beneficial to kind of shine the spotlight on the things you appreciate.
Exactly.
And focus more on what you like.
Well,
And you don't need to just harp and pay so much attention to the things you don't like, because that just brews a negative environment where everybody's angry and everybody just wants to argue.
But it's also not like you can't, you can't criticize something you saw. But I think it's more of a focus on like the thoughts about it versus fuck Game of Thrones, fuck that bullshit, these new writers eat my ass. You know, it's not that. It's not coming from a place of that. It's more about thoughtful things. I guess.
And really it was like I would want to, people would argue with me and I'd want to defend my arguments, but at the end of the day I just thought like, what does it all matter? Like, who cares what I think about Game of Thrones? I don't fucking work on the show. I have no influence on the show whatsoever. I can't get people to watch it or not watch it. There's no point to me voicing opinions about the things I don't like. Who gives a shit? So
but I will say, to not to keep talking about the Metal Gear thing, I will say with the vitriol you see around that, it should be mentioned that, I mean, they didn't allow a man to receive an award at an award show when he won. They didn't, you know, like, there was vitriol. Like, they did bring it on themselves.
There was
a lot of the negativity. Lot of the negativity they did bring on themselves. So I'm not, regardless of your reason for playing it or not, you know.
No,
The PR shitstorm they made themselves was
the most extreme. The most extreme of the negativity is like, don't fucking buy this game because fuck you for supporting that company. Hey man, don't tell me
make your own mind.
I'll play my fucking toys on Saturday morning.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
He works his job to spend his money on toys.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Yeah, you got him.
I'll see. You know, most of my friends list is like online playing this weekend, so some people bought it. I've been having some good matches in multiplayer.
Well, I'm happy.
Yeah,
I'm happy. I'm honestly,
Sean's happy.
I'm glad
he's rich and
it.
Happy.
And I hope the game keep. You know, every once in a while, there's like a little glitch or a little audio cuts out, and here's, you know, this is version one. I hope it gets supported and keeps being. Metal Gear Online seemed to be continually updated and got patches and stuff like that.
Well, so, as everyone in this room knows, version one is not that great.
Yeah,
two and three are a lot better.
That's
It gets better.
I'm crossing my fingers.
Hey, we got 5 minutes left in the main show. Oh. We should talk about our sponsors. I want to start with.
Let's go fucking over.
I
want to
start.
Yeah, we didn't do that last week.
That's fine with me. Yeah. But it's time to talk about sponsors. Our number one sponsor of the evening, NBC. They sent over their rival.
CBS.
No. We are actually sponsored by NBC. NBC sent us this poster of Young Sheldon, and they said, hey, rip on this shit. This show is fucking killing us. Yeah. We need you guys to talk some shit on Young Sheldon. So we are contractually obligated to say for the next few minutes, yo, fuck this fucking dumbass, dumb fuck show.
Yeah, this kid fucking blows.
Look at this kid. Fucking bullshit.
Bow tie, it's a clip on
you. Look at that.
Look at that kid. Fuck him.
I know you just got the urge to punch your computer screen.
This is brought to you by NBC.
That's where the boogers come from.
The Olympics are concluding very soon.
Hey, they're over.
And Young Sheldon is just starting. What are we going to do?
We're in the dark time.
So now that the Olympics have ended, NBC's new campaign is, fuck that kid. Fuck Young Sheldon. This kid's a little bitch.
Any other NBC page that wants to crawl up on the billboard and take that down?
Zoom up on Young Sheldon. We'll take some term insulting this kid.
fuck you. Look at that green shit up your nose.
Oh, look at this chin up, eyes down shit. You couldn't even get it right, little bastard. Yeah.
Nice fucking bow tie.
Yeah,
little bitch bow tie there. Young Sheldon, young asshole.
Blue-eyed little tail motherfucker.
Getting all fucking dressed up for what?
I'm afraid to ask.
Looking rich. Looking like the 1% bitch ass.
Fucking, you think you're better than me?
Dressed
you
up
think
to go to Subway? This episode ends badly.
Looking you're like, not better than me.
Little barren looking motherfucker.
Lock this fucker in a locker. Don't come back. Throw away the key.
Throw away the fucking key.
Stuff him in a trash can.
Young
give him a
Sheldon, you're not Do anything we? Fucking like
This season, they cover all the child abuse that Sheldon suffered that turned him into the weird fucking adult you know from Big Bang series. There's no way the Big Bang character was created without the fucking cold cauldron of child abuse. And you can see that this season on Young Sheldon. Look at those sad eyes. There's a story being reflected in that sad, sad gaze. And you will find it all out on CBS this year.
And that was the official read that NBC gave us.
NBC sent that to us?
We didn't want to say that.
I don't want to say that.
We didn't want to say that.
NBC and specifically Jimmy Kimmel made us say that.
He's ABC, but
Jimmy Kimmel stepped in.
Well, then there is a union of networks against CBS and Young Sheldon.
It's a monopoly. We talked about the corporation.
Sheldon always talks about how his mom was really mean, but now you're going to see the full extent of the abuse.
What if it really was? You're joking, but what if
I'm not joking?
Young Sheldon was like this drama about this kid went through the craziest, worst childhood, and that was the show.
Hey, they kind of did that. All you Rurouni Kenshin fans out there, it was It was an anime series that was lighthearted, and then they did an OVA where it was his dark past.
I can't get this.
What is he? Sean always fucks with a tree.
I want you to see the kid.
He can't leave the set alone.
Master set.
We're supposed to be in a fucking forest.
You know what? He keeps messing with the tree. Close up on me, please. Close up on me. Good night. No, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep going.
I do it way better than that.
I wanted to give another plug if we have a minute. Hey, another great sponsor, almost as good as NBC, is us. Go to shop.mega64.com. And we got great designs. Sean's wearing one of them right now.
Yeah.
Thought I'd give it one more plug. One last plug here.
Yeah.
We got the Experiment sweatshirts on sale now, as well as the Electric shirt went on sale. And as we mentioned, the Electric shirt, it's going fast. I don't know if we have all the sizes left. Might be low on some.
Actually, we're sold out.
Yeah,
so
we'll see. Go to the shop and find out for yourself. But the Experiment sweatshirt, we did have a pretty big stock of. It was left over from our pre-order, but we had a good amount. But it is our, for all intents and purposes, our last printing, and they are running low now. So just letting everybody know, if you wanted them, go to shop.mega64.com and get them. But a little announcement as well, a little teaser for you. This coming Friday, March 2nd, we're going to be putting up a couple items for pre-order. So you're not going to want to miss that. This Friday morning, March 2nd at 10 a.m. And you know what? We'll put up a couple items. We're going to show you one right now. It's a brand new item we've never offered before. Now, we should say,
yeah,
these are items, you know, every year we start, we do like PAX East in Boston, stuff like that. We always debut a bunch of new items.
Yeah.
We're going to start trickling these out. But for those of you who can't make it, basically everyone at home, we're going to do pre-orders to make everyone happy. The first item we're going to show you tonight, Sean produced this design.
Thank you.
Himself.
It was all me.
All by hand.
I did all of it.
Nice.
That's not true. Andrew Douglas.
Oh, second best artist.
Wow. Worked his ass off. Good and then compliment. Jason Cryer also jumped in.
Oh.
And worked his ass
shit.
Off. So
done with
third
numbers.
Best.
The trifecta of the three of us.
I don't want to do that.
I will present to you the Decay shirt.
Whoa.
Long sleeve.
Long sleeve shirt.
Ooh, liking that.
So it's like George Takei, but you put the word dick in it. Wow.
That is not that what is, I did at all.
I like that.
That's not what
damn,
I did.
That's looking hot.
It's a reminder to brush your teeth, too. Ooh. Decay.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? Yeah, look you, at those, you look at those teeth and think, like, oh, I've got to fucking take care that of that.
I want to wear that.
So that's a holy trinity, the Chatfield, Douglas, and
so
Cryer.
What is,
Cryer trilogy.
What's the explanation with that shirt? What does it represent?
What's it represent? Well, I mean, you could take whatever you want from it.
I want to wear it in a black light.
Oh, kind of a Picasso vibe.
Well, I personally, if you go back to the shirt, Eric, real quick.
Let's look at the shirt.
We're going to
get an analysis
like,
by the creator.
This is my thought process.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that this is a dead Falls member.
Okay.
If not, I don't know, I think it's probably a dead Garrett.
Whoa, I've never
I see dreads.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Red's in the background.
That.
He has the beanie on. And so that to me is like, this is Garrett dead.
Vulnerable, I guess.
From version 3. That's what that's my interpretation.
Yeah, some people won't even see that.
Some people won't see that.
But
that's
kind
I
of
see.
An interesting
that's
angle.
What's it say on the sleeve?
It says, in the not too distant future.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah,
oh, I like that. It's a long sleeve.
So it'll be that item and another one. We will announce at a later time. But,
that's
cool. But anyway, yeah, that's looking awesome. Shop.mega64.com.
That's cool.
And
are you going to wear that to your kids' school to pick them up?
I will. Yeah. I would, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, sometimes we have shirts that I wonder, like, can I wear this around?
You know,
like, is it too extreme?
I wore the...
I guess I'm getting old.
Emma loves the Neuro shirt, the Neuro sweatshirt. She wears it all the time to school. And she did not realize that the girl was naked on that until just recently.
Oh, I guess I never realized that either.
If you really analyze it.
I'm going to go home and whack it to that shirt now.
Yeah, dude. Well, that's,
sick. Now I know she's naked.
Maybe she has a tube top on.
Maybe. No.
She doesn't. She doesn't.
Hey, I was the one that produced that.
Oh, you did?
He produced
I worked with Mariel on that very carefully and made sure that was not the case.
She's like
she's not wearing anything. So...
Who was the model for the naked body?
Me. I said, Mariel, do this. And she said, I'll be in the other room. I can't. I don't want to be here.
It was like set the scene in Titanic, right?
I said, just like this. And she was like, please don't. but somehow she drew it perfectly. It looked just like me.
Hmm.
So anyway, check that. Check that shit
I'm
out.
Not going to touch it. I'm not going to make any jokes. I got jokes to make, but Rocco's my friend, and I'm gonna leave it.
Hey, you know, I finally saw, what did I see? Oh,
what did you see?
The, that movie...
Power Rangers Turbo.
Ritual?
He's watching that same episode
Rocco,
of Power Rangers.
If you would stop watching Power Rangers, you might actually see something new. How many times have
we
you seen
just
Power
talking
Rangers
about that this week?
How many times have you watched the Green Ranger
it's
saga?
It's kind of like Sentai, but it's more of a police officer who's like roboticized. Is that what you wanted to talk about?
Are you talking about Blue Centurion?
No.
Yeah.
Talking about RoboCop. I thought you watched RoboCop.
Oh. I did watch RoboCop. But I already talked about that. I saw that Three Billboards.
Oh!
Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Hey, that title really bothers me. It's too long.
It's a documentary, though,
yeah.
Right?
No.
Oh, no?
Fuck. No.
Based on a true story.
There's so many good comments going around right now.
But, well, man.
First of all, what would you name the movie if it was up to
you? Well, I haven't seen it. But Snazzies. Not that.
All right, the movie would be called Not
this,
That.
It's called Three Billboards.
It's called Snazzies.
I don't need anything else.
Well, Rocker saw it. What's your review?
Man, that movie was great. Wow. You saw it, Kevin, didn't you?
I liked it a lot.
Yeah. That was so good. At no point, and it was based on a true story, which I didn't know anything about, but at no point did I know what was going to happen next in that movie. That movie, every five minutes was like, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, I thought it was good. Well, all right. You know, it just completely circumvented every thought I had about it. But also, it perfectly blended humor with it. Was
much
dark.
Funnier than you think it
was. Yeah, but wow. It was dark humor. It wasn't, you know, you have over here The Martian, where every line is a joke.
Blech.
You know what I mean? Like, and too, you know, and I knew what I was getting into it with that, but it's a little far with it. Then you have this movie that, yeah.
Made by the people who made The Martian?
No. Okay. I'm just using an example of something where it's a serious story with humor injected in it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. And this did that, but it walked that line perfect where it honestly reminded me of, you know, what made The Sopranos so great was that serious subjects, but there's humor. And that's how life is. Yeah. People, even in the darkest situations, will make a joke or make it whatever. That's life. And this movie, to me, just walked that line so perfectly. Where I was laughing, but it didn't make it any less serious. You know what I mean? So, man, that was a great, great movie. I saw that, and I saw The Florida Project, which is a movie about people who... the people who live... And this is a big, widespread kind of thing. A lot of people don't necessarily know about... People who live in kind of like motels around the Disney parks. It's a big thing where people who, you know, it's almost like they're borderline homeless, but they live week to week in a lot of the surrounding hotels. There's so many motels around like Disney World in Florida and some in Anaheim too. Huh. But there's entire communities of people who maybe they work at the park and they don't make enough, or they just don't, you know, whatever. But there's examples of extreme poverty in those areas, and people just live in these motels, and there's entire communities there. And
this is a documentary.
No.
What the fuck?
These are all movies.
But and, is this Florida Project based on a real thing?
No. It's based on a thing that happens, but it's not a true story.
Not both of these, because I've been interested in both of these by just.
Well,
the
you
names
were in
alone.
For a shock if you went into that.
Wait, Young Sheldon is a documentary.
Oh, wait, it's not
real time.
But yeah. Anyway, it was really. It was kind of a slice of life, you know, of living in that place, and a lot of it is from the children's perspective, and the child actors were so good in it, and the whole movie was great, and when it was over I thought, well, that fucking got nominated for Best Picture, absolutely, and it didn't get like anything. I was really surprised by that. I'm surprised like shit like Get Out and Shape of Water is nominated, and that really surprised. Not that I hate those, but those seem very like popcorn movies, and this seemed like, I don't know, it just seemed like Oscar fodder to me. And so anyway, it was really good. Willem Dafoe is in it. He runs the place, and he did get nominated, but the other stuff surprised me. But anyway, that was really good. They were both really good.
Nice. Hey, I saw the new Chris Rock stand-up on Netflix.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Tambourine.
Yeah.
It was interesting. You know, I used to love Chris Rock's comedy special from the mid-90s. I can't remember the name, but it's like a classic comedy special.
Oh, yeah. What's the name of it?
It was super famous.
It's not Bigger and Blacker, is it?
I don't remember
that one
the
was
name.
Big. That one was a huge... That was his HBO.
He talks... I mean, I remember being a little kid, and he had this bit about if bullets cost $5,000, that would solve the shooting
problem.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember that.
It was, like, super funny. And so I like Chris Rock. I've always liked Chris Rock, but... I just feel like, I don't know what to make of his newest comedy special. And I kind of felt the same way watching the new Dave Chappelle one. Like, I really like Dave Chappelle, but it just didn't hit me in the gut as like as funny as I had hoped. Yeah, it kind of was what it was.
Yeah.
Anybody else see that or have any interest in?
No, I want to because I watch a lot of stand-up specials.
Who's the best stand-up out right now? Like, what's the special that you have to watch right now?
I've never really like been super all about stand up. There's some you know, I like Chris Rock as a guy, so I just put that on. But it's not something where it's like, oh, this special, that's incredible. I just kind of put it on while I work, you know. So I don't really. I like Bill Burr. I think he's funny.
Yeah, there's a couple Bill Burr. I think there's one in black and white at least on Netflix.
Oh, really?
It's really good.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of specials on.
You listen to a lot of stand up comedians. Who's your favorite stand up comedian? I never asked you that. You listen to a lot of stand up.
Yeah, it might be Greg Fitzsimmons.
Really?
Really? Yeah. It just
I don't even think I've heard of Greg Fitzsimmons.
Oh, and he's been around forever. He's got a lot of old specials, but it's mostly he writes on shows. I think he writes on that show Crashing.
Oh, okay.
Or he did in the last season. But I don't honestly watch a lot of his stuff. I listen to. I really like his podcast. And I've seen him live a few times.
A lot of people in the chat saying Norm MacDonald, Hannibal Buress.
Tom Segura has three really good Netflix specials that I enjoy. A new one just came out. I think it's called Disgraceful. And then there was one called Mostly Stories. And then there was one before that even that was good too. Yeah, Tom Segura, Greg Fitzsimmons.
Okay, I'll have to check this Ari guy
Shaffir.
Out.
Ari Shaffir had a couple specials that are on, I believe, Netflix. One that he filmed in the Comedy Store in L.A., which was kind of a big deal. I don't think a lot of specials have ever been actually filmed there, even though it's such a famous location.
I know one that was filmed there. Uh-huh. The Comedy Store. Wait, was it the Comedy Store that Michael Richards performed at?
Was that no, that was that was a Laugh Factory.
Oh, show. Never mind. I'm sorry. I got it mixed up.
Hey, you know what? If you're watching Podcast Question of the Week, who's the best stand-up comic out right now? I want to find some good stand-up comics. I watched Tambourine by Chris Rock. It was good.
Can't be Louis anymore. Louis's day is gone.
You know, a couple of years ago, I really discovered Bill Hicks, and that blew my mind how funny it was. And we're talking like almost a decade ago, and I feel like I haven't had that kind of visceral, like really laughing, hard, gut-laughing experience in a long time watching stand-up. And I used to experience that a lot.
Yeah,
it's a bummer. I don't know.
I was told multiple times in the chat that Bill Burr is super normie. So I'm sorry I suggested that. I didn't know I sounded like a normie.
That's
so
a comedy nerd. That guy lives like
Rocco is a normie.
I'm sorry. UCB.
Went back and listened to all of Mitch Hedberg's stuff. It's been a long time. It's like that is like my kind of humor.
Yeah, I liked
it's
that.
It's so quick and like this, like the jokes is just there's no real setup. It's just like that's the joke and then move on and the next joke. But like
it's amazing you can remember all
Mitch
those jokes.
Hedberg was like so good. And I'm sorry he's dead.
Non sequitur.
Will he die?
Heroin?
No, that can't be right.
That heroin, though.
Can't be right.
Joey Diaz is a good stand up comedian too.
I'll have to look those dudes up. It's been a while. I used to love stand-up. I used to love stand-up so much. And I think, too, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but working in comedy, almost it kind of ruins comedic things for you.
Sure.
Because I think that when we have spent so much time trying to come up with funny concepts and conceptualize comedy, we've really, like, picked it apart. And it's hard not to have that kind of comedic analytical mind when you're watching funny stuff sometimes. Like when I watch a comedy movie, I kind of am always looking for how they're setting stuff up, and I feel like I've ruined it for myself a little bit.
Sure.
Just working on it for so long.
Yeah.
Sure.
I definitely
you guys,
feel
you guys
like
feel that
it's
way?
Harder
you
to in, it's sometimes. Harder to enjoy just a dumb laugh at like say a Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah.
It just doesn't
for me it's
being too close to trying to make funny shit.
It's kind of like when
dumb funny
when,
shit
when,
is not
when
funny
you talk
anymore.
About music to musicians and they're on a whole nother level. Oh, you still listen to that shit? That is so. It's like, yeah, sorry, I don't know how to play every fucking instrument on earth. I haven't picked apart the whole world of music.
No, I get that way with comedic TV shows a lot, or even just regular TV shows. There's shows that if they have any like reality based anything, I can't watch it because all I see is how they edit it.
Yeah.
And I go, well, yeah, you cut this to go first so it'd be funnier, but that's not how it happened. I can't watch this. You know, and even like comedic shows, it takes a lot for me to just let go. Because people tell me all the time, you know, Nathan, For You is such a good show. Rocco, you should watch it. And I just, it takes so much for me to like just relax. Like, I watch it and I go, oh, I see how you edited this. Oh, you edited this to make the guy look weirder. But this is shit we would do.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm demonizing that. Like, oh, you
it's
edited.
Hard to enjoy it.
You know, because like, you know, even if you watch Jackass, you can watch segments and go, oh, they punched up the sound effects in this scene. That's not really how it sounded. But that's what editing is. Yeah. We do that.
So it's
when I hit somebody with my Mario hat, it doesn't go, you know, but I add that, you know.
Yeah.
That's what filmmaking is, and
so
you always do
like,
that. But
it's like you're working still. When you
yeah,
watch it.
I guess that's what
that's
it is.
It's hard to still working.
It kind of ruined it for ourselves. I find
some
that
things, some things.
I mostly watch
I used
drama
to, I used
and
to only watch comedy.
Fiction.
Like, Comedy Central, comedy movies, stand-up comedy, and now I almost don't really enjoy it that much. Mm-hmm. If I have free time, I don't want to sit down and watch a comedy.
No, me neither. I'd rather...
I don't laugh, and it's kind of like a waste of my time.
No,
I
like,
yeah.
If I'm going to enjoy comedy, it's usually I'm sitting down in... to watch like animation,
yeah,
like a comedic animation, something that's so different.
Worlds that I'm not in, yeah, exactly. Drama and just whatever, stuff like that. Although, but then again, there are exceptions because, like, I watched Ali G the other day, and it was like I was dying as if I had never seen it before. You know,
there's something different about
that. Something I'd seen before.
Something that inspired you, I think, has a
That was before.
Maybe we'd be funnier if we watched more comedies. You never know.
Yeah. Hard not to then
I
get...
Young Sheldon.
It's hard not to get an idea and then feel like you're lifting it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that does happen.
I know a lot... I hear from a lot of comedians on podcasts that say they don't watch other stand-ups on stage.
Because
they don't want other ideas invading their craft.
Okay, but here's the thing. But think about this. Those comedians get old and get less funny... Then you have a new generation of comedians who are fucking hilarious who have only watched other comedians and have kind of been inspired to mold their new stuff. I definitely think there is something about...
There's those type of guys.
Keeping like the engine full of gas on inspiration and actually being able to watch something and have it affect you to the point where you laugh, and then it kind of makes you more aware of what your own sense of humor is. You know?
Yeah.
I think you lose touch with that if you just avoid... Sure. Avoid comedy.
Yeah, you gotta see what's relevant and what's current.
Yeah, things that evolve, you know, and that's, things evolve you.
Every once in a while, I'll cringe through what's going on with YouTube nowadays, and it's like, holy hell. But it's good to know it's out there. And
I think, kind of talking about that note, I do think in a way, Mega 64, it's our blessing and our curse. Because I think the things that we really find funny are awkward, like... Even unintentionally funny stuff. Like, we'll watch real found footage video of shit that just went fucking wrong.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what influences our videos, because we see, like, this real world video of this fucking train wreck was making us laugh. Let's recreate that for our videos. And we're not necessarily being inspired by actual comedy. Just
the thing that we find
funny. Just shit that happens in people's lives. It's so horrible. We laugh at them.
And
that's why our videos are so weird.
It's a different type of humor, I think, that we have as at Mega 64. It's like a not intentional things will make us die laughing.
Sure. Yeah.
I think a classic example is the genital mutilation prank. Like, God, look at this fucking train wreck.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's make a video based on it.
Yeah. All right, well.
That was a deep conversation, guys.
No, that's not a wrap. We're just done talking about comedy.
Talking about that.
Use the facility.
But not to keep talking about it that much, but...
Metal Gear Survive. He doesn't like
it.
Fuck!
But Ben Affleck, you... Going back to what the Florida Project.
Yeah.
Something that I do appreciate in things that I will still... We're talking about seeing comedic things, and this is something I appreciate that, but they did it in this movie too. I love... I don't know how to describe it. Mixed media type filmmaking? Just different types of, you know...
Get creative. I don't...
Yeah, just... okay, this part's shot on film, but this part isn't. Well, whatever. Anyway, what I'm getting at here is the Florida Project. What it's great at, it's very, very well shot. Very cinematic. They shot it on film. But what's great is there are scenes where, like, the mom who has this daughter who lives in this shitty motel and all that stuff, she, steals a bunch of perfume and tries to sell it in a parking lot.
Okay.
Well, when they film that, they get real reactions. And it's so great.
Oh.
I love shit like that. So, you know, it's like, hey, do you want to buy some perfume? Yeah, my daughter can't eat. She can't. Oh, well, she can't. Oh, shit. Well, I can't. You know, it's like real people's reaction. I don't want your fucking perfume. You know? And it was like, it felt very like... Oh, this feels very... As much as this is a serious movie,
that's cool.
It felt like a Mega 64 moment. You know what I mean? Like, I love shit like that. Like, you know, so anyway, whenever something is able to kind of mix it up in that way, Under the Skin did that too.
I was just going
to
say.
Yeah, and I love that shit. So anyway, Bruno, I just want to throw that out there.
And Borat method of filmmaking.
Yeah, yeah. Although those are kind of more predominantly that, getting real shit, more so.
Afterwards, they go around that parking lot and go, hey, can you sign this one, like we do?
Yeah, and that's in the behind the scenes. You see them do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, go make sure they're okay with being in a major movie.
I already know the answer to this question, probably, because I'm surrounded by Neanderthals. You guys been reading any books lately?
Do comic books count?
Sure.
I did. Sure. I actually, that's funny. I recorded a video for my personal channel.
No, we're talking books.
Where I was talking about books.
Oh, okay. All right.
Wow.
But I'll keep quiet.
They exist.
What books have you been reading?
Was it a strategy
It was actually more about...
Power Rangers? Triggered. Yes. Triggered.
Triggered!
Oh, fuck. So mean.
Good night.
What? No! Get the fuck out of here!
It was the perfect moment!
Shut up.
Nailed it!
No, just talking about how, reading was something, like, I was just talking to somebody the other day about libraries, and, like, I used to love going to the library as a kid. And I was like, what changed? Because I don't even think, we have the internet and all that stuff. There's a lot more things at our disposal, but... Yeah. Where did my love of reading go away? I read nonfiction still sometimes, but I don't read, like, any kind of fictional stuff. What happened? Uh-huh. And I really think it was, like, high school fucking burned me out on it. I really
they
think
They forced
that.
Me That's to do it.
Because they forced me to read so much it. That it made me hate it. Yeah. So I did a video where I talked about that. That sucks.
I've been reading a lot of nonfiction, too.
Yeah, I still do that.
I have a problem where I can't finish books, and I just start a new book, and I never finish the last one. So I have a pile of books, fucking 14 books tall. A lot of them are nonfiction. But there are two fiction books I've been reading recently that are so good. They're so good. I want to focus on what I like and share this with everybody out there. If you're looking for a good, quick read... These are a couple of books that were written many, many, many years ago. One of them was written 50 years ago. The other one closer to 100 years ago. Wow. They're both badass. They are Flashman and Fantomas. They are two series that I want to recommend to anybody out there who's looking for a new book to get into or a new book series to get into. Check out Flashman, which is about this British soldier in the 1800s. Almost like an English Han Solo. He's a scoundrel and a coward and a cheat and a liar, and he seduces women and just goes on these bumbling adventures where his life is always being threatened and he has to wiggle his way out of these crazy situations. I highly recommend Flashman. There's a whole series of these books. And then on the other end of the spectrum, Fantomas is this murder mystery. It's about almost like a serial killer who cannot be caught, the world's greatest criminal named Fantomas. Some people don't even think he exists, but whenever there's an unsolved murder, there's rumors this was done by Fantomas. Fantomas isn't real. Well, there's one detective who thinks he is real, and he's going to find them. And that book was written in like 1911 in France. Yeah. It was just recently translated into English, but check those out if you're looking for a new book to you, old fiction, Fantomas and Flashman. That's what I've been reading. I just want to recommend those. Cool. Google them. You've been reading comic books?
No, I actually have been buying the comics that I still collect, but I have got such a stack of the ones I haven't read. I just buy them every couple of weeks when I go get my subscriptions from the local comic book shop, and they fucking go in the box. I should probably just stop buying them.
Yeah. I have a big pile of graphic novels, too, that I want to get through. I have an Alan Moore Swamp Thing, like the original kind of collections of those, which I heard were really good. Mm. Actually, I have a big pile of Alan Moore comics from the 80s that I just have not gotten around to reading yet.
I used to make an effort to take a stack of like 5 books to work, and my break, I would sit at my desk and read
through comics. You can power through them pretty fast.
Yeah, and especially like, okay, here's something productive that I can do on my break. I'm still taking a break. But as it is now, I'm so busy on my breaks at work with other shit that, yeah, I haven't done that in forever, and that stack has gotten so big. But I still like collect Wolverine, The Walking Dead, and what else? There's like 4 different Wolverine variants. So
you collect the individual issues of The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Do you have the full collection?
Yeah.
Really?
We've talked about this on the podcast a couple times.
So when do they have an end date in mind, or are they just going for as long as they can sustain?
I don't know. I haven't checked in years.
Oh, okay. But you're still picking them up.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Cool.
I've been reading.
Which is weird. I feel like I'm not into it anymore. I should probably stop. But the collecting OCD that I have is like, nope.
That's how I am. Keep going. I discovered The Goon a few years ago, and I had every issue of The Goon, and I haven't even read them all, but every once in a while I'll still be like, yeah, I should re-up and just get all the ones I don't have. Because there's just something about having every issue.
Totally.
Sometimes it pays off too. I collected every issue of a comic called iZombie.
Yeah.
And then they made a television show based
on
that.
Love that show.
The show is, I think, still on.
I like it.
He loves that show.
And what's the main character's name?
Zombie.
Yeah, that's his name, right?
I don't get. Is he being facetious? Do you hate the show?
No!
His name is.
I like it. It's great.
Name another character.
I.
I don't know what the bit is here.
Her name is not I or Zombie. Mm.
You would know that if you watched the show, which Olivia. You claim to love.
Sorry, guys.
But I eBayed it as a full set in like perfect condition and actually got a pretty decent turnaround.
Nice. Ooh, what'd you get on it?
I think $500.
$500 on
eBay?
No,
it's actually less. I think I got like 200. It wasn't that many issues. I think it was like
that's
20.
Cool. That's cool.
$10 an issue. That's not bad.
I'll take it.
It was better than what I picked them up for. And then I realized, like, you know, this is something I've just been picking up over the years. And I read through them. It was actually decent and kind of an original idea. I don't know. I was not interested in this TV show version. But the comic was good.
Sean, people in the chat are saying you're on edge.
Well, we're a little past. I can.
We are past. Anything else anyone wants to say? Or can I wrap it up? Is that okay? Because I have one thing I want to kind of end on.
He might burst out in some kind of... He might love what you have to
guys,
say.
Well, the new me, I tried it. I'm just letting you guys do your thing.
Okay. Do you guys mind then? Is there anything else you want to share?
I'm good.
Before I do this?
If this is about Power Rangers, we don't want to hear it.
Fuck.
We get it. You like it. It's your favorite show.
It's not. It's it's an apology.
Oh, I want to hear this.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear this.
There's someone here that I owe an extreme apology to. And I thought if we could just kind of, if I just have a minute at the end here.
It's all you.
It's to Sean.
You know, a lot of people have been watching the podcast for a long time. And so you remember every moment. You remember the highs. You remember the lows. There was a low moment in the podcast a long, long time ago. And we, you know, we brushed it off. We had a laugh about it. But, you know, it's 2018, and I had a big revelation, and so I want to apologize. This weekend, lately I've been rewatching the Evangelion series. And I watched a recent episode. I was watching it with somebody, and when it ended, they said... So what happened? Did Kaji leave town? And I was like, no, they died. They were shot in that one part. They looked at the camera and then you heard a gunshot. They're dead. That's why everyone's crying. Spoiler if you haven't seen the show. Should have said that up front.
It's all right.
Sorry.
It's fine.
Unhear that last part.
1994.
But I said, you didn't know they died? And they were like, no, I didn't understand. When it cut away, there was a gunshot noise, but they didn't show him being shot. So I just thought they were all upset he's leaving town because he left a voicemail.
Can we get two shot of
it
Rocco
wasn't
and
clear.
Sean?
I had gone for years assuming maybe Sean... Listen, on camera, I said maybe Sean didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
Sean didn't... He was doing something else. Pay attention next time.
Right.
After all these years, and it's been a solid decade, have to say that to some people, clearly that sequence wasn't clear that the man was killed. And so after all these years, after 10 years, I apologize,
Thank
Sean,
you. Wow.
for discrediting your,
Thank you.
You know, your ability to dissect that part.
Do you accept?
I apologize.
Do you accept his apology?
I do accept your apology. I will... say that even still bringing this up, I still get mad at you for that moment.
I fully confess.
Well, this could be the last time.
Hey, and the joke is not, there's no joke.
There's no
joke. I was wrong.
Thank you.
Some people don't quite understand that part.
And
it was clear to me, but
let me tell you,
can I chime
obvious,
in here?
Pretty
I don't,
obvious
Rocco,
to me,
I don't think you were wrong. I just think some people just aren't on the same level intellectually.
Really?
And I don't know who you were watching it with, but they
That's
might
That's why he doesn't want to say names.
Dumb.
Oh.
That's the nicest way to put
Shit,
it. They
I didn't
might
even,
they
oh, I
might
didn't
just
think about that.
Stuff just might go over their head that is really fucking obvious.
You know,
maybe they are paying attention, or maybe they're like thinking about birds
I
and stars and La La Land. Pay attention to the show.
My anger,
and you will get it.
Spawned from the fact that Rocco and I would watch an episode and talk to him about the episode, and we have a conversation about it.
Every episode?
Every episode. Because I watched it for Rocco. I promised him I'd watch the show, and I never watched anime before. I'll watch this for you.
Going into
and
the
so
deep
I watched end. It. And then we had a conversation about the episode, and he never mentioned this, and he calls me out on the podcast to make fun of me on the podcast. Everyone started laughing at me.
Oh.
And I was like, I watched this fucking show for you, and I honestly feel like I hate anime and Evangelion because of this moment. Like, it was like, well, I was liking it, but fuck all this. If this was going to be, then I don't care about fuck all of it.
Oh.
And so thank you for apologizing. I still don't like Evangelion, but I appreciate.
I think you should watch it again.
I will never watch that show again.
People in the chat are saying it is a really obvious moment, and that particular person does not understand.
I have to be honest.
How you could not pick that up?
And can I give some more, a little more honesty?
A little background. Yeah.
I had not thought until Derek said that that maybe there's just more than one stupid person.
Oh, that's true.
That word is
that's
so.
True.
Yeah, I don't like that.
But they were. I don't know.
No, I look at camera.
Are
on
they
me.
Pretty smart? Who?
I did win Trivia Murder Party.
Triggered.
So I won.
Oh.
Triggered.
That doesn't matter.
I'm the winner.
Good night.
Whoa.
He apologizes and then he makes fun of you to your face.
Yeah. Did you have the final thought?
My final thought is, fuck Evangelion.
Hey, come
Kaji
on.
Dies and I'm glad.